Hi, everybody. Jose Palomino here with another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. And our guest today is Bob Tipman, CEO of QuickFreeze.com. And QuickFreeze is technology that we all appreciate because it allows for the cold storage of mostly food products everywhere in the world because the supply chain doesn't take something from farm to table instantaneously. There's a couple of steps in between. And the technology that Bob's company develops, manufactures, and sells and services allows this to happen throughout the country. So what we're going to talk about with Bob is the impact that all of this has had on supply chains and how people in the supply chain have been responding creatively, including him and his company, to the challenges that these days are giving everybody in manufacturing. So listen closely as Bob shares his story and their successes at navigating these difficult times. Well, welcome back, Bob, to Business Growth on Purpose.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Really enjoyed our last episode, and we'll have that in our show notes so people can get the backdrop on that. But Bob, one of the things I've always fascinated by the things you do is how I think they're especially relevant to today. So just for our audience sake, just a quick recap, what do you do and who do you do it for?
Sure, we make equipment for industrial cold storage facilities around the world.
Okay, and those would be used mostly for like food product and things like that?
They are.
Okay, and so you make, that's interesting. So storage and, you know, just thinking about like food supplies are in the news right now. People are worried about both, you know, obviously sources of grain, like with the Ukraine in the world economy. And of course, the cost that has in terms of food, like, you know, livestock and so on and feed. All of that is such a, I guess, pervasive is maybe the word I'm looking for in that it affects everybody. This is not some esoteric idea that, you know, on the back pages of the Wall Street Journal. It's like real deal happening now. So just curious, Bob, as you look out at the markets you serve and you work, what do you see developing there? What's happening?
Sure. The biggest change was really, it started with COVID, where, you know, food had been prepared for the status quo that, you know, some portion of it went to restaurants, some went to food service, schools, and grocery stores. And then it all went to grocery stores. So it really disrupted our supply chain in that people had been buying and planning all of these products for these industries that just went away, and the demand increased on the grocery store type items. And in the recovery from that, there's also been a lot of supply chain disruptions due to COVID. So, you know, where everyone had kind of embraced the lean principles in their business, all of a sudden there was huge holes poked in that way of doing business. And so with warehousing across the board, the need for warehousing has increased to where people are changing from just in time to, they call it, just in case. And
I like that.
And with that mentality of going to just in case, the need for cold storage warehousing is just skyrocketed. It's almost like a boomtown mentality. There's a lot of startups involved, and projects have just been coming up everywhere, especially in the US. And our products are used almost exclusively in warehouses. So it's been, we've seen a large increase in demand for our products.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So, you know, the theory of, you know, critical chain and Elihu Gorat wrote The Goal like 40 years ago, and that changed a lot of how people thought about inventories. And then the financial people got into it and said, hey, we don't need inventories. You know, we'll just wait for the other guy to have. And again, it's like musical chairs. It all went down the downstream to somebody has a screw, right? You know what I mean? And they actually stock the screw. And if they don't stock the screw, you can't build the sub-assembly, which can't go into the machine and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's interesting, the just-in-case thing. I mean, clearly people do need to manage their balance sheet and manage inventory levels and so on. But I guess the lesson is you got to have some buffer. And actually, if you reread The Goal, he talked about buffers. And
right.
People forgot that step. Because it's a lot easier to just push that off downstream to somebody else. But in your world with cold storage, that's mostly what, food product for the most part?
It is, yeah.
Right, so food product, you know, this in the US, we're not, at least in my lifetime, not necessarily worried about food security, but it's a thing, and it's a thing in the world, right? We just have been insulated from it. And then, so when we see empty shelves of like, there's no toilet paper, or there's no Hot Pockets, what do we do now? So I just see what you're doing in your technology is so interesting and such a critical part of that chain that we live with. This is not, again, some theoretical thing. So you see warehousing storage growing.
Yep.
And my question is, how much of this is a momentary reflex reaction to the circumstances right now versus this is actually going to change the way we do business going forward?
It's definitely reactionary right now. And there's a couple of places around the country that are being overbuilt. I see a lot of activity in Houston and in Savannah. Those are markets where they're a little overserved. And there's going to be more of that with all the, there's some, you know, VC money going after trying to capture this opportunity of the increase in required warehouse space so that we have a more resilient food supply. And I think that we've come out of this COVID realizing that we need a better buffer, like you said. So I think that it's a mix. There's some of it is reactionary. There's new players getting involved in the industry. There's bigger money that has gone into the industry. We've got the largest public refrigerated warehouse company is publicly traded now. And the second largest is publicly traded. And the largest has bought out, I don't know, they're somewhere in the high 70s in the amount of other public refrigerated warehouse companies that they have merged with. Wow. So it's become a different market, and we've had to adjust how we market and how we sell our equipment to these larger corporations. There was so much of our industry was mom and pop 20 years ago. And now I had a deal, a month ago or 2 months ago. And it was like a pretty small, relatively small deal. It was like $50,000. And they had to go through 9 approvals to get it going. And it was like, they needed this equipment on like an emergency type basis. And it still had to go through 9 approvals on a $50,000 deal. So we've made adjustments to better serve these larger corporations and to understand the way that they think and work. That's been an adjustment that we've made over the last couple of years with all of the buyouts that have happened.
Right. So it's interesting. So you had a lot of small companies. Now they rolled up and now you're dealing with the man. And there's a set of rules. And anybody who's ever been a small company selling up understands it's a different world, and people don't often realize just how different it really can be. But that's interesting because, you know, you're kind of at an interesting crossroads, the kind of stuff, what you do, the technology you sell and so on. In this regard, you're dealing with like food security is one thing. So clearly supply chain issues, another thing, but also what would affect you too is like energy costs, because your stuff needs to get plugged in. Right. Has to run on something. And you see those costs going up. So how else do you see markets that need fresh food to be available? I mean, what are there other technologies people are looking at? Are there things you're looking at doing in terms of like energy and so on? I'm just kind of curious how you look out at the future and respond to that. And I'm not telling, give us your secret, you know, patented plans, but, you know, I'm just curious as to, you can't ignore that stuff because it's happening.
Sure. Yeah. No, these giant warehouses that are refrigerated are consuming quite a bit of electricity, and their two biggest expenses are labor and utilities. And with that, there's a lot of different strategies and new technology being employed to take best advantage of that. But it's really coming to the understanding that these warehouses are also capable of storing energy. And being able to take advantage of that to where you're charging the system during off-peak hours and then discharging during the peak times. And all of the sophistication in your controls to be able to manage that. We have some users that get an email every day and it tells them what their rates are going to be by hour the following day. And so being able to come up with a solution that programmatically responds to those rates and best utilizes the equipment that you have at that facility so that you're consuming power when it's cheapest. And we've seen rates that'll range in price difference from like 19 cents a kilowatt to 90 cents a kilowatt.
Wow.
By the hour during the day.
That's a hard business to run. I mean, just thinking about it, just because most people, we all deal with variability in inputs, right? But mm-hmm. that kind of hour by hour variability is like next level. Like you really have to have some serious software models to manage that and not lose your mind or lose your business.
Right. And it also goes downstream from that software that all of the equipment that you're trying to manage will play nice with it.
Right. Because it's one thing to have it on a spreadsheet. It has to actually play out on what I imagine are some very large facilities yeah. where this stuff has to happen. So you're a manufacturer, right? So you're an OEM, you're making a very specific, you know, branded set of products that you're putting out into the marketplace and you're marketing and so on. So one of the big challenges manufacturers are facing now, especially small to mid-sized manufacturers, you know, let's say below like John Deere or Caterpillar, is labor, like just finding the skilled labor to do the work. What's been your experience in terms of like closing that gap, or are you blessed to not have that issue at all?
We are blessed in that area. The labor has not been a huge concern for us. We've had an increase in demand here recently, and they're going through another round of hiring people right now. But the response has been good. I feel like some of the issues that we were seeing a year ago where it was hard to find people, a lot of that has passed. So we're pretty excited about that.
Wow. Okay. And I'm just curious, is that like unique to your area, or are you hearing that from other business owner, you know, manufacturers that you have contact with?
I think in skilled labor, there's still quite a few issues, but in general assembly, forklift operators and warehouse people, it's been a lot better than it was a year ago.
Okay. Yeah. Because I mean, I'm just talking to folks like you over the last year. It's like, you know, and then you end up building, you know, squeezing your team for like overtime hours and building cost into it that wasn't accounted for in pricing, et cetera. You know, mm-hmm. those are all challenges. So I'm very happy to hear that you've kind of rounded that corner. But talking about rounding into corners, right? So here we are, mid 2022, the economy's not doing so great in some, you know, by most measures, and there's a lot of fear looking into the future. So I just want to kind of tap a little bit into you as an owner, CEO. You know, you have to running an enterprise, looking at the future. What are some of the things you try to weigh into? Take into account when you decide, when you think about your strategy, because I've heard everything from like, hey, we just stick to the knitting. We can't change what we can't change, and we don't have a crystal ball. And other owners I've talked to try to really design their strategy around what's going on closer to real time, maybe not hour by hour. Just curious, Bob, what's worked for you kind of, because the world's a big place and there's stuff way above our pay grade happening.
Sure.
How do you plan for that? How do you get your team's head in the game and not be filled with like panic and worry, you know, running right. into the streets?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still having quite a few supply chain issues, and that has driven a lot of the decisions that we've made over the last, 2 years that we've been having these issues. The cost of materials has greatly increased. And, I see a lot of, my colleagues are just kind of rolling over on the cost increases. Like it is what it is. I've heard that expression mm-hmm. Quite a bit. And I had a hard time accepting that. And so we took our products back to the drawing board. We did some value engineering. We were able to reduce the amount of metal that we were using in our equipment and really come up with one piece of of our machine was really hard to get our hands on. And so we have designed it to where we can use, we can sell more of our equipment with fewer of that component. And it's not easy. Like the sourcing and the supply chain issues is really frustrating because I've never had to deal with it before. And it's, some lead times have gone from like 12 weeks to 72 weeks. And it just makes
72 weeks might as well be like whatever.
Yeah, I can never get it right.
No, but it's interesting. But so you guys really, you said, okay, there's things we can't change, right? We can't make steel appear or aluminum or stainless steel, whatever. So we have to redesign for the new realities. And that's a big effort, right? And that could be, it can be in a certain situation, it could be discouraging to people like on your team potentially, or encouraging, like, oh, we get to play with new toys and figure stuff out. So I'm just curious, how did that connection happen when you say, guys, we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and actually rethink how we make these things?
It was, they saw what I saw. It was, the team has responded really well to that. And I'm really excited about some of the new stuff that we're working on. I've got some guys installing new equipment in the field that we're collecting data on and testing out. And also in addition to, okay, using less of this component that we can't get, there was another component that we could get our hands on. And so we've developed out new product lines around that. So using some of the technology that we developed on the freezing equipment, we've got new equipment that we're releasing this year because we knew we could get our hands on this.
Okay, sure.
So we've got some new refrigeration controls and some new devices that will be helpful in cold storage warehouses. And I really can't say a whole lot more than that, but I'm really excited about what we're doing. And I think that it'll open us up to a bigger market than just the freezing technology that we do today.
Well, what's the old adage, what necessity is the mother of invention?
Exactly.
So, I mean, it really is. I mean, you have to, because, you know, I'm sure there are manufacturers out there that probably waited too long to accept these realities.
Yeah.
Or maybe they didn't have the engineering staff as part of their mix, you know, the labor mix sufficient to say, we're going to redesign some major products. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting to me to hear, as an entrepreneur or business owner myself, I say, that's exciting how you responded to that. And, you know, if you get lemons, you got to make lemonade. I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
So you have, and, you know, sometimes from those things may come out something that's actually more cost effective. In the long run, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to flip back to the old way. This may be the way forward, right? So that's pretty exciting. Wow. So so I love just in case versus just in time. All right. I'll definitely be using that. That's the good phrasing. I appreciate that. And in terms of, through the changes, one thing I love to focus on with owners is just corporate culture, like keeping people's head in the game, getting people not being discouraged. What are some things you've done or your leadership team to make sure everybody is thinking, you know, I'm not saying that if we all think happy thoughts, everything gets fixed, but it's better to have a team that's thinking positively than thinking the sky's falling. So I'm just curious, what have you done to make sure everybody's head's in the game and thinking positively about the future?
Yeah, one of the restructurings that I did this year was really trying to empower some of the leaders in my company and forming kind of teams around them and giving them more responsibility and accountability with that. And it's really, I've seen the fruits of that already, where I can see that they're more forward thinking and they really have a sense of ownership of their teams.
Wow. So, you know, it's always interesting when I hear leaders talk about letting their leaders, because, you know, cultivating them, but you have to give them room to lead, which isn't always easy to do in, privately held firms and so on, where there's a lot at stake here, right? I mean, you don't want to get anything wrong, but I think that's certainly something I've seen in my travels and talking to people and clients I've served over the last 17 years. that usually will pay long-term dividends because you have a team that can help you carry the weight. It doesn't always fall on just the most senior leaders. It's people, again, can actually take responsibility for that. So, Bob, first of all, thank you for stopping by Business Growth on Purpose. We really love it. I love talking to owners all the time. If somebody listening wanted to know more about your firm, what you do, how to get in touch with you, where should they go?
Quickfreeze.com. And then we have a new website that's live-wire.com. It's our new product line.
Okay, live-wire.com and quickfreeze.com, yep. Correct?
Yep.
And that's the quick freeze is all one word without the dash, right?
Correct.
All right, fantastic. Bob, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it. And good luck to you as you navigate these crazy times. And hey, we need cold storage. We need our food. So that's
definitely
good. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose. If you like the show, hit subscribe and leave us a review to help other people find the podcast. And if you're ready to take the next step in driving intentional growth for your business, come check out what we're doing at valueprop.com. We've developed industry-leading programs and systems to help B2B owners take control of their growth. Until then, thanks for listening to another episode of Business Growth on Purpose.